This is Second Look, only on 103.3 WZND. Here to take a second look at the stories the WZND Newsroom has covered this week. Investigative reporting from the award-winning WZND News Team, here for you. Unbiased, engaging, and comprehensive. Second Look starts now.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Second Look, the show where we take an in-depth second look at this week's stories. I'm Jaden Cohn.
And I'm Joey Delahunty. Today we will be looking at Bloomington Civilian Police Review Board, this year's Indoor Festival ISU, and hearing from Coach Phil Barsky of the Bloomington Bisons, who are looking into starting their first season. The Bloomington Public Safety and Community Relations Board held a meeting on August 28th to discuss the murder of Sonia Massey and the wider conversation it has sparked about police accountability. I got to talk to board members Rachel McFarland and Art Taylor about the meeting and the overall purpose of the board.
Well, what is the general purpose of the PSCRB? Like, what's the overview? What's the big idea?
So I'll give a brief what we do, and then maybe Art can give the background on why we started. So really, we have a couple of different responsibilities. One is to provide an avenue for people who have complaints against the Bloomington Police Department. And the Bloomington Police Department, once they resolve and their investigation on the complaint, if the complainant is not satisfied with the outcome, they have an opportunity to appeal that to our board. And we review the complaint and look at the investigation and, most importantly, police procedure and whether, number one, was it followed, and number two, policy or procedure need to be amended as it relates to this complaint. Everything is confidential. We don't know who's making the complaint. Everything is redacted. We don't know what officers are involved. And then as a board, we review it and make recommendations. The second piece of this is to do some community outreach where we can provide a forum for the community to meet with the board and the police department to help relationships, build trust, have a forum available for interaction. And that's one of the reasons why we've set up this special meeting next week.
You guys make recommendations. Those are recommendations to the police department, yes?
Correct.
And then those are strictly recommendations. Y'all don't have any sort of direct authority, right?
It's not a direct authority, but I will tell you, and in my history, I think we've had one or two situations where we've made suggestions to changes and the police department made those. And Art, maybe you can fill in some of the history.
Sure, that's not a problem. Thanks, Rachel. The police are involved. At our inception, we basically developed a relationship, whereas it was not adversarial, but at the same time, somewhat independent, that the board was independent of the police. But at the same time, we coordinate with the police. So in our reviews of complaints over the years, we have had reason to make recommendations for a change in policy or procedure with the Bloomington Police Department. If there's something that is, and there really has not been any earth-shattering policy reviews or recommendations, if some of those would change police procedure that would need to be approved by the city council or the city manager, then those recommendations would be made to them. We've made recommendations for changes in our own board rules, but we've also made recommendations for changes in police procedure thanks to the complaint that we reviewed that saw a gap or a hole or basically an oversight in the police policy or procedure that our review revealed, and we were able to make recommendations to correct those.
So let's talk about this meeting on the 28th. So what's the hope behind this meeting y'all are holding, and what kind of spurred it on?
So let me just give you some of my own background. One of the reasons why I wanted to join this board and was interested in it was following the George Floyd incident, and kind of felt helpless and wanted to help in some way. And I knew about this board, and through art, I was able to get on. It really is our hope, first of all. The Sandy Massey murder in Springfield was something that we all saw in the news. It was horrific when we saw the body cam footage. And I wanted to, you know, we talked as a board to say, you know, this is an example of why we actually have this board, is to understand what are those things. It'll give the community a chance to hear from the chiefs of police something about what they do in their hiring practices and training. And I don't think they'll be able to talk any specifics about the case because of pending criminal case and perhaps a civil case moving forward. But it's a chance for the community to interact and ask questions. We've been very fortunate. We haven't had an incident like this in our community, but it's one of these things where we'd like to know and have them feel safe, ultimately, when they call the police for help, that they don't end up in a situation like Miss Massey. And it's, I think, those, to have the community get a sense of one, trust and security, and that police are there to help. And yes, there are very good police personnel, but occasionally there's some bad apples, and we understand that. But I think it's important for the police departments to talk about what their policies and procedures are, primarily in those two areas based on the information that we're hearing about this case. It's a very distressing and disturbing incident. And I think this will give people an opportunity to share their feelings and their fears and their hopes and what they expect from our police departments and their interaction with the community.
And Joey, I'll add on to what Rachel has basically said with even deeper background. The Public Safety and Community Relations Board was initiated in 2017, basically as a result of the Michael Brown murder in Ferguson, Missouri, back in 2017. There were several entities within our community, those particularly the League of Women Voters, Not in Our Town, Black Lives Matter, the ACLU, and other groups that were particularly the NAACP, that were interested in a civilian board that could help review, one, police complaints and police policies and procedures in an independent forum that would allow the community to review and have an avenue to be able to review police complaints and help resolve communication issues between the community and the Bloomington police.
The PSCRB also holds regular meetings on the fourth Wednesday of each month at 3:30 p.m.
On Tuesday and Wednesday, the ISU Dean of Students put on its 35th annual Festival ISU. It is usually held on the ISU Quad, but this year it was inside the Bone Student Center due to extreme weather conditions. Jacob Rottinghouse spoke on behalf of the Dean of Students to discuss the challenges and benefits that came through this unique year.
why is Festival ISU so important to students?
Yeah, but it would be because of the student experience of getting involved on campus. So it's the life outside the classroom that really helps students grow from what they learn in the classroom and then applying it to professional or just for fun things. So Festival ISU helps people find kind of their fit, right? Their friends, their family away from home, and kind of what they're looking for, that they're passionate about.
And obviously this year is different being inside. How is it? Is it harder, easier? Mm-hmm. What's your interpretation on this?
Yeah, of course, we are disappointed that it's had to be inside. But for everybody's safety, I think it's best that we are, since it's so hot. But I think it limits the experience a little bit, just because it's not as easy just to walk through, you know, and stumble through after class. But I think with all the signage and marketing and location for being in the Bone Student Center, I think it'll work out. And the numbers have been good so far today. So I think it's been good. It took a lot to make the switch, but we're happy that we're here.
And what does the planning process of putting together this two-day event?
Yeah, absolutely. So we start pretty early on planning in early spring to kind of open up registrations for our campus departments and student organizations on campus. And as registrations come through, we start to make sure that they are a student organization or they are a campus department. And then it's working with our great facilities services team to make sure that we can have all the tables and things normally when we're outside. And then this year, with moving to the Bone Student Center, really working with our partners in event management, dining, and hospitality to put this on. And so it's a lot of communication and verifying information and making sure that everyone's prepared to kind of showcase their passion and mission as a student group.
Do you have any other information you want to tell freshmen to get involved in or anything?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for any new student on campus, whether it's first time in college or transferring in, coming to Festival ISU or stopping by the Student Involvement Center is going to be critical to success, just to kind of find where you fit in and find something you're passionate about. So even if it's only for 15 minutes, stopping by and interacting with the different groups is really critical to success on campus.
What are the over 300 student organization RSOs that participated in the festival was the Film Society, ISU's Film Club. Alex Prince, the club's president, spoke on what the festival means to ISU students, as well as the positives it provides to the club.
Alex, what's been the most important thing here at ISU Festival?
I think just getting to see everybody at the beginning of the year. There are a lot of people who like haven't found their groups yet and their social circles yet, and so getting to see people who are really just willing to explore and kind of try new things, and then talk to them about our club and see them exploring other clubs, I think that's a really special thing, because I think involvement can really make your time here at ISU a lot better, especially if you're feeling lonely. So.
And then I noticed you have little books and things on your table. What are some of the things you're giving away to students?
Yes. At our table, we have zines, basically like mini pamphlets that people can take that have information about like our social medias, kind of what our club is, how to get involved, some of the past movies you screened. We also have some stickers and a poster board that includes all of our board members and each of their top four favorite movies. So just ways for people to get involved and kind of take something from Festival ISU to keep us in mind.
And then how many people so far have come up to you? Like, what have you been saying to them?
Yeah. We've had quite a few people come up, but really just trying to gauge people's interests in our club. We usually start off by just asking a general question of if people like movies, and if they answer yes to that question, which most of the time the answer is yes, because everybody likes movies in some way, it really gives people a chance to learn more about us. We get to talk more about our club, and by the end, they're usually interested in, you know, coming to a screening or at least taking a zine or a sticker and asking us more questions. So it's been really nice, and we've had a lot of interest so far, so very excited about this year.
And if you could give one piece of advice to freshmen, what would you give?
I would say definitely take risks and try new things. I think college is a really great time to experiment and try things that you may not have had a chance to try otherwise, so it doesn't necessarily have to be related to your major or what you've done in the past. You can really try anything and everything that you want to, because now is the best time to experiment and try new things.
To read more on this unique 35th year of the festival, you can visit WZND.com. We are going to take a quick break. We'll be right back here on Second Look. Don't go anywhere.
Dude, I just found out my grandma has a Twitter.
That's weird. Does she post?
Oh, no. All she does is post thirst traps.
Good thing I use Twitter for one thing and one thing only. Staying up to date with everything WZND.
Oh, grandma, your likes are public.
You can follow for news and sports content, meme Monday, or even request songs with the hashtag WZND requests.
What do I even do? Do I tell my mom?
You should tell anyone who loves keeping up with WZND.
No, about my grandma.
No, don't tell anyone. Ever.
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there.
You can say how while you will get a fake tattoo. You can ask with an app if it works for you. You could chat on the game, kick off your flip-flops. You can ask on your couch while you binge watch.
Whatever gets you talking.
Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
I used to scroll online hour after hour, brain completely numb. Then I found it. WZND.com. WZND.com showed me a place where I could listen to my favorite music with new playlists that are always changing. I was even able to listen to interviews and new music from local artists. A website that allows me to discover new, upcoming ISU news and events. And if I'm feeling sports, I can listen to Red Zone for updates on all things Redbirds. With the ability to listen anywhere in the world, WZND.com is the only website I'll ever need again.
Crispy, faded, lit, baked, toasty, stoned, blazed, zooted.
When you're high, there are a lot of ways to say it. But there's only one thing you need to remember. Driving under the influence of marijuana is illegal everywhere. If you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
News now on 103.3 WZND.
Welcome back to Second Look on WZND. In case you missed it so far, we've talked about Bloomington's Civilian Police Review Board and this year's indoor Festival ISU.
Drumroll's annual Sweet Corn Circus, also known as Corn Fest, took place this past weekend in Uptown Normal. The event featured performers from ISU's Gamma Phi Circus, the oldest collegiate circus in the nation, as well as a local professional wrestling organization, Iron Spirit Pro Wrestling.
On August 24th, ISU police received a call at 3:30 a.m. concerning four suspects committing a hate crime against a university student. The suspects reportedly cornered the student near the Bone Student Center, attacked him, and called him homophobic slurs. The student declined to seek medical treatment and returned home after contacting police. The ISU police encouraged students to take action if they notice any suspicious activity and to use the Redbird Safe Walk app if they do not feel comfortable walking home alone.
Illinois is accepting submissions for a new state flag starting September 3rd. The Illinois Flag Commission will be accepting designs online and by mail until October 19th to see if a flag is found to replace a current one. The commission will select 10 submissions and create online public survey on January 1st, 2025. The results, which then will be shown to the Illinois General Assembly, who will vote to either adopt a new flag or keep a current one. Anyone can make a submission, though they are limited to 3 per person.
The Normal Town Council is considering implementing a new local grocery tax to replace the one the State Assembly is repealing. In May, the Illinois General Assembly approved plans to end the 1% grocery tax across the state starting January 1st, 2026. On Tuesday, the council will consider an ordinance to re-implement the same tax on a local level, also set to start in 2026.
ISU Sports was back in action this weekend. The football team traveled to Iowa City for a bird battle with the Hawkeyes. The Redbirds kept it tight in the first half, with the score being 3-0. After the second half, Iowa's offense exploded, which resulted to a 42-0 loss for the Redbirds. The team will take on North Alabama on the road on September 7th for their next game. The volleyball team hosted Central Michigan, Bellarmine, and Lindenwood in the Linda Herman Classic. On Friday, the Redbirds fell 3-1 to Central Michigan to kick off the 2024 season. Then on Saturday, they fought back and took down Bellarmine 3-1. To conclude the tournament, the Redbirds went into a fifth set against Lindenwood and came up just 4 points short of the victory as the Lions took the match 3-2. Now, Joey, you and I had some experience this weekend. We both called some games down at SEFCU Arena. What was that experience like for you Friday night?
That's correct. Friday night, I was one of the two people calling the Central Michigan game. And I think the big thing I'm noticing about the volleyball team this year, as a lot of people have been talking about, there are a lot of new people on the volleyball team, a lot of freshmen, a lot of transfers. And I was noticing a lot of pretty wild raw talent from people like Ruth Ziegler, Kennedy Guest. But during the Central Michigan game, there just wasn't really the cohesion that the other teams had. But clearly the next day, things went differently with Bellarmine.
Definitely. And one thing I noticed when I was calling the game with Colleen Holden, our news director here at WZND, they're up front. They just looked great up front. During the press conference with Allie Mather, she talked about the different combinations that this Redbird team is trying in order to put the pieces together, I should say, for this Redbird team.
I think it's certainly set to be an exciting season with all the new talent on the team. There's certainly a lot to look forward to. I'm
Definitely.
Curious to see how it goes. It has been nearly 60 days since Philip Barsky took the role of head coach from the Bloomington Bison. WZND's Jaden Cohn had the pleasure of sitting down with Coach Barsky to discuss his plans for the team as they enter their first season in the ECHL. The new head coach went into his hockey background and stressed the importance this team will bring to the community.
My first question for you is, what background in hockey led you to take this position?
You know, I played hockey all the way up until 25. I was a Division I scholarship athlete at Bowling Green State University in Ohio, and then I ended up playing 3 years at the University of Calgary. I guess my career was cut short due to concussions and injuries and just kind of lost the love of the game. But, you know, I'm going to be entering this year my 15th year of coaching. I've coached in North America and in Europe, and coached at, you know, pretty much every level of hockey except for the American League level and the National Hockey League level. So I think, you know, based on sort of those experiences, that's kind of what led me to this point.
And then speaking of coaching, what would you say is your mindset as a coach and what drives you?
I mean, I think what drives me is winning. You know, I love to compete, and I love the process that it takes to have success. So I think when you look at practice, you know, your ability to prepare your athletes at a better or higher rate than your competitors, and then see that play out in a game situation where there's clearly, you know, a team that's going to win and a team that's going to lose, you know, that's something that really, you know, drives me to, you know, prepare our athletes.
And then I recently read that you spoke to the Bloomington Council. What did you ask them?
I was asked by Jeff Juergens to sort of share, you know, let's say, you know, so I got hired here roughly 80 days ago, and he just asked if, you know, I could come to City Council and give a behind-the-scenes sneak peek at, you know, sort of what we've been doing over that time. And so I put together a PowerPoint presentation to share all the exciting things that I believe are happening, you know, with the Bloomington Bison.
And speaking on that, what do you expect, like, the Bloomington Bison can bring to the community?
I think the fact that we're a professional sports team and we do, you know, the ECHL or the East Coast Hockey League that we play in is a really high caliber of hockey. You know, we are two levels below the National Hockey League. We will have players here on AHL contracts. We will have players here on NHL contracts. We'll have, you know, very good ECHL players here. So I think from that standpoint, we can bring an entertainment value, you know, especially to an arena that has been, you know, for the most part, vacant over the past few years. But I think first and foremost, we can bring some entertainment value. But more importantly, the one thing that I've really stressed since I've been hired here and something that's very important to me is our ability to connect with the community and connect with, you know, institutions like yourself at Illinois State, or whether it's with the Bloomington community, and that can be business leaders, that can be the council, you know, leaders, that can also be just obviously the regular, you know, citizens of Bloomington. So I think from that standpoint, it's something that we want to be very connected to the community.
What are some of your goals heading into this new season?
Just winning the day. We're very process driven. So I think it's important that every day we find ways, either as an organization, as a hockey ops staff, as a front office staff, to find ways to get better and just, you know, really sort of wake up early, work long into the night, and just find ways to every day win the day.
Do you have anything else you want to add about either the team, any other goals, any other expectations that residents of the community should know about?
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing that comes to mind, and it's one thing that I did share at City Council. Historically, if you look in the ECHL, the expansion team have not done well in their inaugural season. And you can look no further than Iowa in our division, or Savannah in a division that I used to coach in. The one thing that we've really tried to differentiate ourselves from those two expansion teams is with the use of analytics. And I think the other thing is I've surrounded myself with some really competent people. And we hired Dan Larmer as an assistant GM. We hired Jesse Messier as an assistant coach. We've also built out an analytic department in order to try and find some undervalued assets. And, you know, we've been able to, you know, secure summer camp roster spots for those players. So we've really tried to sort of shoulder the responsibility with some really competent people to help us have a different outcome. And we do expect to be very competitive in our first season.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Second Look. Today we looked at the Bloomington Public Safety and Communications Relations Board, the unique Festival ISU, and an in-depth look at the new Bloomington Bison hockey team. For Second Look, I'm Jaden Cohn.
And I'm Joey Delahunty.
And we'll see you guys next week.
This has been WZND's Second Look. Catch more WZND in-depth news every Sunday at noon with WZND's Bird's Eye View and Second Look. For more WZND news, find us online at WZND.com.